It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Yeah. Hey, between shows, I hear that you're working on a book. And we're going to kind of tease that a little bit in today's show. Right. Mm-hmm. You're getting back to one of your favorite subjects, the purpose of marriage. You do a lot of marital counseling.
Yeah.
So this is a subject real close to you. And in working on this book, it brought to light all kinds of new.
The more I delve into that, the more I understand about my own marriage and the people that I'm talking to and counseling. And it's just it's some exciting biblical information and, when people, we've said before, in fact, I think I might have touched on this a few weeks ago on the purpose of marriage, but more things come to light, very interesting, very helpful for me personally and for the people that I talk to. I did a bit of a quick search just to check my opinions, and I think someone had mentioned, one of the people I was counseling had mentioned a book, and I Googled, not the book, but I just Googled the topic, Christian marriage counseling or something like that, and it came up with a whole, several pages of books and self-help and seminars and, counseling approaches. And not one that I looked at had anything to do really with purpose. It was all had to do with, process, fixing the process.
Communication.
Communication, conflict resolution, how we love languages, the Gottman program, all these kinds of things about how can we do things differently to smooth out the rough spots. Mm. And when people come to counseling, it is typically to change up or to adjust the process, how we're doing things. I think people know when they come to counseling that some kind of change is required. But who should change? Mm. And what should we change? Should we go my way? Should we go your way? Maybe a different way. And underlying that, who should change and what should we change is often to why should we change? Mm. And so I want to delve into, as I'm writing on this topic, there are basically four scriptures, a lot of scriptures that refer to marriage, but not that teach on marriage. There are basically four scriptures, two out of the New Testament, two out of the Old Testament in Genesis, and I want to go through those first in the show today, and then I want to talk about my brief synopsis of the purpose of marriage. And when I counsel people, that's what I try to weave into the counseling. We do need to change processes, but we need to understand why. And we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So we want to be purpose oriented. So the first scripture that I am looking at here is Mark 10, 4 through 9. But I'm just going to, I've got a highlighted portion here. And this is where Christ is responding to some Pharisees that they've said to him, Moses allowed us to divorce. Put away this woman, and what do you say? And so Jesus says, because, Moses allowed that because your hearts are hard. Mm-hmm. But he said in the beginning it wasn't that way. And then there's this portion where it says, God created them male and female. And for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, so they will no longer be two, but one flesh, and therefore what God's joined together, and let not man put asunder. So looking quickly at this, when he says that God created them male and female, we in our Western mind, we think, okay, he created one anatomy and another anatomy. But that's not what this is saying. This is male and female is referring to the Hebrew ish and isha. And what isha means is it came from ish. So what Jesus is saying here is when God created them, they both came from the same lump. Mm. He's not saying they're two different anatomies. God, not that God created them different anatomies. It's that God created them from one lump. The isha was taken from the ish. And so for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one. And he says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And we usually take that as the wedding vows, so God joining them together in wedding. But that's not exactly what that is about either, because when you join together in marriage, you're agreeing to this whole idea that God took the woman from the human and made both out of one. And so when we're marrying, we're agreeing to kind of step back into that oneness, and that's what that's what God has joined together is in the so we're making a contract with God, we're making a promise with God. So the second scripture comes from Ephesians 5, chapter 5, and of course Paul is talking about how we behave toward one another. This whole book of Ephesians is about the body of Christ, how the body of Christ functions, the Spirit of God in the body of Christ, bringing unity and the ministry within the body of Christ. And so he gets into these verses. We're familiar with verse 25 through 32, and it talks about husbands loving your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He's just finished talking about how wives should submit, but that's not the part that is pertinent to our discussion here today. Goes down to verse 28. Let's say men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. And this is the important part that we're getting to. Even as the Lord loved the church, for we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. We're members of Christ's body, flesh, and bones. And then, almost parenthetically, he says, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now he's talking about this, the same passage that Jesus is quoting from. And then in verse 32, we all are familiar with that. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church. And so sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that this idea of the man leaving the father and the mother and the two becoming one is the mystery, or the marriage is a mystery. Somehow it reflects. He's really talking about the mystery is that we are the body and the flesh and the bone of Christ. But it's almost like it's not a parallel so much as a fractal or a repeated pattern where there's the Godhead, the Trinity, there's a plurality in one, there's the plurality in one of Christ and the church, there's the plurality in one of the husband and the wife. In fact, that scripture from, I was looking at it just before I came in this morning, Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, I believe, verse 4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." And that that one is ihad, and it means a plurality in a singular but plural. So even in Deuteronomy, he's speaking about this the plurality.
Well, I think it says that even in the first verse of the Bible too, in Genesis 1:1, and God created the heavens and the earth, and it uses a plural word there too for God.
Yeah, and it is a plural word, and then we're going to jump actually to Genesis chapter 1, 26, verses 26 and 27, when that's that whole idea of the plurality and the one is the singularity and the plurality is brought out succinctly by the writing here. It says in verse 26 and 27, and this pertains, I think, directly to marriage. He says, let us make, I'm reading from the Torah, by the way, so this, I like to do that in these critical Old Testament verses, because you get the, it's really, you know, so to speak, from the horse's mouth. In a lot of our translations, we try to culturize them, because sometimes we haven't understood the exact wording or the implications of it. So let me just read it from, it's in English, but I'm, this is the way it's reflected in the, from the Torah. Literally, it says, let us make a human, that's singular. Well, let us, that's plural, make a human singular in our, plural, image, singular, according to our, plural, likeness, singular, and let them. So he's talking about let us make a human and let them, plural, dominate. And so then it jumps forward. We jump forward. God created the human, singular, in his image, singular. He created it, singular, in the image, singular, of God, semicolon. He created them, male and female. That the impact of the semicolon there, of course, is we understand that what follows the semicolon is informed by what is ahead of the semicolon. So created them, male and female, is either informed by created it or in the image of God created it. So, but as I analyze this, it doesn't matter whether I say it's informed by the it or it's informed by the image of God. They, since the it and the image of God are connected, it doesn't make much difference how you look at this. But you see a singularity and a plurality within the singularity. Then I want to jump over to the second passage in Genesis 2:18. Now, so something happens in the semicolon. And what we find in Genesis chapter 2, and basically it's verse 18 to 25, this is like the amplified version of what happened in the semicolon. And so it gives us a very detailed account. And when we read this detailed account, we need to ask ourselves, why would Moses, God through Moses, include that in Scripture? Because on the face of it, it's not important. If we stop to think of what has the idea that Eve was taken from Adam, what has that idea ever done to increase my faith or enhance my prayer life or anything? It's almost insignificant, but it can't be insignificant. Mm. It has to be significant. So it's not trivia. It's essential information, the way that it's laid out here. So let's look really quickly at it. First of all, we have in verse 18, it says, the Lord said, it's not good that man is alone. I will make for him a helpmate opposite of him. So that's the Torah. And so this is interesting where God says, and so again, this is not trivia. God is speaking this to you and I. It's Moses is not just writing this down by the way. This is important stuff. God says, first of all, he says, it's not good. Now, I have an opinion about that. Maybe all people don't agree with me, but I think it's pretty solid. When God uses the word good, he's referring to himself. When you and I use the word good, we can say that's a good car, that's a good pie, that's a good resort, that's a good church. And what we're doing is we're referring to some transcendent ideology we call good or goodness. But God doesn't know a transcendent ideology. God is good. And so when God uses the word good, he's where the buck stops. And when he says it's not good that man is alone, what he's telling us is that's not the finished product. And then he says, how are you going to finish the product, God? I'm going to create something opposite. And I think a lot of people that come to counseling, we'll get into this more in the second half of the show, but a lot of people that come to counseling are the question, why did God create men and women opposite? Why would he have done that? But there's a very important reason why he did, and that's what people struggle with.
Well, we're going to get into some of those reasons in just a moment. If you're intrigued by Daniel's approach to marriage, talking once again about the purpose of marriage today, he is the Bible-based counselor looking at a lot of Scripture today. We'll be back in just a moment. People are intrigued, though. They want to know how you can maybe help their marriage or any other counseling needs. How do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Please make sure your voicemail is adequate that I can leave you a message. So sometimes that I try to call people and their box is full and then I have no other way to get a hold of them. Also, people email me through the website, and if you do email me, you might include a phone number in case my email goes to junk. So that email is found at the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, offices Edmunds Kirkland. Also do quite a bit of Zoom for people who prefer not to make the drive, and the schedule can be less challenging that way too.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach.
Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is taking us through quite a Bible study today, looking at the purpose of marriage in the book of Genesis and some interesting ideas. And I think that's interesting that you're also looking at the Torah instead of the normal English translation. It is in English, but it does bring out some different emphasis.
It does really bring out some different things, as we'll find a couple more here before we get into the actual purposes, the synopsis of the purpose that I've got down here. But so we're in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 25. And if you've just joined us, this entire show is going to be at the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. You'll be able to find it there under the podcast. So we've just covered the first verse 18 here, and we're jumping down a bit. So now the Lord, you know, he's said that he's gonna make for Adam a helpmeet. And let me jump ahead here just a little bit. Down in verse 23, Adam is saying, "This one will be called this. You know, this is now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. This one will be called Isha, for it is taken from Ish." Now that Isha and Isha means woman, and Ish means man, and that's the first mention in Scripture. And we're in the second chapter of Genesis, so we've had a first chapter of Genesis. When we're in the second chapter, this is the first utterance in Scripture of any two genders. There's no gender implied before this, even though in the English and translations it talks about Adam and it mentions the word man. If you look in the Hebrew, that's always Ahahem, Ahadem. It's Adam, or it means human. So whether before this verse 23, if you're reading Genesis 1 or 2 and it speaks of the man, it's the Hebrew word is the word for human. There's no gender implied. Whether it says Adam or whether it says the man or he or him, there's no gender until we get to this verse in 2 Genesis chapter 23, where Adam says, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." So it's going to be called Isha because it was taken from Ish. That's the first mention of a man and a woman. And so we go back up, and Jesus or God is saying, "I'm going to create an opposite." So then he does this. We can only look at this next portion as a teaching mechanism. And again, it's important. It's not trivia. So Moses is going to take us on the scenic tour. He's going to say, "So then God brings the animals before the human." And he said, to see what the human will call the animals. And so he's naming the animals, but it says there was no opposite found for him, nothing opposite of him. Now, you recall that before in creation, God created male and female, but he didn't create the Isha from the Ish. That's never happened before. He created the male and female. This is kind of an unfolding of his nature. And however that happened, whether he modeled a male and a female, or whether it just was part of the unfolding of God's nature, that there would be this kind of yin and yang or positive negative charge, this binomial male and female. Either way, that's not what matters right now. What matters is that when it came to the human, God created the human as one and then takes the human apart. And
interesting that these ideas are under quite a bit of assault in today's culture.
The binomials.
Yeah,
genders. Yeah, and it's an attack on the image of God.
It is.
And it's an attack on the image of man. Mm. So it's interesting that among the animals, so it's almost as though God is saying to us, you see, when I created the human, it's not like the other animals, where the other animals could like look around and find one that worked. But for the human, that wasn't going to be the case. The human, the opposite of the human was going to be taken out of the human. Because in a sense, it was already there. As a matter of fact, if I think of the chore of naming all the animals, I would more likely entrust that to a gal than a guy.
Okay.
So there is a tradition and a thought that the potential of both the feminine and the masculine were in the human, because they're in God, and God created the human in His image, and so what was the image of God? Well, if we look back in here. In our first, our New Testament, where Jesus is saying in Mark 10, verse 4 through 9, and verse 6, he's saying God made them male and female, quoting that from Genesis. God made them male and female. And so they weren't two, but they were one. God made them as one. He made them as this human, which is what we're reading about in Genesis, where, as I say again, before verse 23, there's no indication in Scripture of gender. It's just the human. So he makes him an opposite, and it says there wasn't an opposite found for him in the rest of the animals. So the opposite is going to come from Adam, the human. And so then it says, and we always hear that he took a rib from the side, but it says in the Torah, he took a side. He took one of his sides, one of the human sides. And then it says, and God built the side he had taken from the man into a woman. This interesting wording. He built it, meaning that there's something very intentional about building the opposite, making the opposite of the man. So then Adam says, this time it is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one we call Isha, woman, our word woman, because it was taken from the Ish. And therefore, Adam says, the man shall leave his mother and father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And also in this, they were created naked and they were not ashamed. Now, what does that mean, ashamed? I just want to touch on that really quickly. It just means that they weren't afraid to be with one another. They didn't have any defense mechanisms. Now, we've talked about personalities, and I've said personalities are defense mechanisms. They're defense mechanisms because of our fallen nature, where we have in our fallen nature is fear and shame. Fear because we're mortal. Shame because we probably sense that we're accountable to a holy God, and the thing of shame is it's an internalized message of lack of worth. So they were not ashamed. They didn't have this message of lack of worth because they hadn't fallen at this point. But sin was inevitable, and so this is why God created Adam and Eve the way that he did. One, and the image of God here, this reflects on the image of God. Deuteronomy, as we mentioned before, Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, the Lord your God is one. And it's implying in that scripture that it's a plurality in one. And so when we're made in the image of God, and a lot of people have thought this to be, well, body, soul, and spirit, but that isn't what is being said here. And we don't have to speculate and try to create a meaning for the image of God when it's very specific about what the image of God is in these scriptures. The image of God is, he's talking about the plurality in the singular. The Lord God is a plural in a singular, and the husband and wife are to be the same way. They're a plural, but they're a singular, and mm-hmm. so not to be separated. Mm-hmm. Let me just go quickly then into my little synopsis of what I believe that the purpose of marriage is for. First of all, to expose the nature of sin in a practicable, intimate environment where you can really get down close and kind of fight it out. It exposes the horizontal conflict, which is the nature of sin, the interrelational conflict. We come to these conflicts because we're in close quarters. Another part of the purpose of marriage is that to expose the vertical resistance, the resistance or the lack of alignment with the nature of God, righteousness in a word. Further, it's to facilitate judgment or repentance. So it exposes the sinful nature. It exposes our resistance to God. It gives us a way to make correction as we correct our marriage relationship. It facilitates correctness, repentance, understanding the work of the God's work of righteousness in us. It frees the Holy Spirit to move in our in our lives to bring forth the work of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, and then lastly, it's to develop and cultivate a unique or essential ingredient or quality or virtue for the building up of the body of Christ. So it exposes horizontally in our relationship. It exposes our the sinful nature. It also exposes our subtle and sometimes unconscious resistance to the nature of God. It offers us a way of making corrections so that we can work through our issues according to the purpose of God, and it builds into us a character that is healthy for the body of Christ. So ultimately, it always has to do with the body of Christ. So
okay.
Wrapping it up quickly, but...
We'll look for more of this to be expounded upon in your upcoming book. You really want to try and finish a book.
I want to try to do that this year.
Okay,
yeah.
That's your
goal.
Pray for
me.
Purpose of Marriage, something near and dear to Daniel's heart. He brings that out in his counseling. And if you would like help with from Daniel for your marriage or any other issues, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. The email address can be found at the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will also find podcasts of radio shows. This one, for example, I have offices, Kirkland Edmonds, and a lot of people like Zoom these days.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.